Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Wow, y'all are family to us, and we get so excited every time we're coming up here. There's just such a strong spiritual bond between RCC and CMC, there, here, up there, down there, you know, all the CMC's campuses, you know, that's the N word now. We, CMC is RCC to us. I mean, we're just so connected. And I told Rusty, I didn't know if I could stand myself tonight for me to have Hetty Lou Brooks and Virginia Powell in the same building. Where's Jenny? Where'd she go? Little short thing. Some of you big tall boys bend down where I can, there she is. Grew up at Brook Hill Ranch, started there as a camper in fourth grade. My dad received the vision of RCC sitting in Hetty Lou Brooks' living room in a recliner. And that's how far back we go. And then grew up as a camper there watching Miss Hetty Lou. And I was telling somebody the other day, I hated camp. I wanted to be at home. I was a mama's girl, daddy's girl. And it was the hardest thing in the world for me to spend a week. No way I could have done 2 weeks. 1 week away from home. But I went back year after year for that lady sitting right there on the front row. And story time, if any of you got to experience that. Plus, God knew what he was doing. And I was going to grow up to be a woman pastor. And he placed me as a fourth grader under the care of a woman pastor so that I would know that it could be done. And then Hetty Lou headed me off to Virginia Powell, and she finished me off. How could I not turn out just wonderful? As Virginia says, who wouldn't love me after that? Look at my mentors. I am nothing like them. I'm not near as wild and exciting, but they imparted a lot of wisdom. And I believe that there are mantles of anointings that are passed. And that's why we hang with each other. That's why pastors get together and people in the ministry, even the body of Christ, because there's anointings. So I'm excited about tonight. I'm going to teach the same thing, Tim. This is round two. You're going to get the same thing you got the other night, but this is going to be for you. That different things have already been coming out. I've been writing upstairs in the little apartment building. Isn't that nice? That beats Hotel 6 all to pieces now. It's going to be about healing tonight. Oh, that's the heart of God. It is the heart of God. And there's a couple of things that we want to make sure. Before we go further this week in what I'm covering, I didn't get to hear Tim, so I'm sure he probably preached it all already. But I want to make sure we know, with beyond the shadow of a doubt, that healing is the will of God. No ifs, ands, or buts. We've got to get that established. And then I want us to talk about how to fight for it and why there's a fight for it. If it's for us, then why do we have to fight for it? So this is just going to be laying some groundwork tonight, but it's going to be good because the Holy Spirit wants to get things handled in your life so he can open up the gift of healing in this place, in your body, and whatever you found to exempt yourself from the healing that Jesus Christ provided, we're going to remove that exemption tonight. The will of God is real simple. It's very, very simple. People complicate it. Religion complicates it. If you don't get anything else, get this. The will of God is the Word of God. The Word of God is the will of God. And you'll hear religious, Christianity is not a religion, by the way. It's a way of life. So when I refer to religion, I'm talking about all the other junk, okay? People get mad sometimes when I talk bad about religion. I'm like, I'm talking about religion, not Christianity. People talk about the sovereignty of God. Well, God's sovereign. You know, we don't know his will. No, we know his will. He was sovereign in sending Jesus. He was sovereign in deciding that the stripes on Jesus would be your healing. He was sovereign when he had it penned in that book. And if you go through the history of the Bible and you understand what it took to get that word in your lap or your laptop with the word on it in your lap, then you begin to realize the anointing of God and how he wanted that message to get to you sitting right here tonight. It's his will. His word is his will. And if you can get that, you'll be far above most of the church world because they don't have a clue what the will of God is. It's important that we get it established. He said it in his word because he wanted you to have it. He wanted you to have it. If he didn't want you to have it, he wouldn't have said it. If he promised it in his word and he doesn't want you to have it, let's just think about that. If your parents promise you something and they tell you you can have it, but then they don't really want you to have it, what does that make your parents? Liars! You can say it. I won't let them hit you. I won't let them hit you on the front row. It would make them liars. The scriptures are very plain. God is not a man that he should lie. He is the truth. He is the truth above anything that looks factual. He is the truth. And when he promised you something in his word, it is because he wanted you to have it. And he does not take back his promises. They are yes and so be it. Yes and amen. He says yes to them and we say the amen to it. That's our part. You see, faith. Oh, faith. It's got to be one of the best subjects in the world. Because it's the option God gave us. The world throws things at us. Your genetics may have thrown diabetes at you. Your genetics may have thrown, we were talking about my grandfather, who I never got to meet because he died of hardening of the arteries when my mother was still in high school. And every time I go into the doctor's office, I have to fill out those stupid papers. I mean, I realize they have their purpose if I have any medical people in the room. I realize there's a purpose for the doctors to know those things, but doesn't it just make you mad that you have to put down that your grandfather died of hardening of the arteries because that puts an expectancy in their minds that you're going to do the same thing and then it plays tricks on your mind? Yep. Was that me? That was you. I'm going to blame it on you. I don't know if it was you or not. Okay. I'm the guest speaker. I get to blame things on who I want to. I even got special parking out there, little guys with a, I know. I was like, oh, we're VIP. So we love to come here. You just park wherever when you come to our church. Seriously. Faith is the option God gave you, an option. You do not have to live with the diagnosis. You do not have to carry on the gene. You do not have to. The world's not going to give you an option. The cursed earth is not going to give you an option. But God, through his word, gave you an option. And that option is to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. My dad used to reverse that, and I love it. By faith, the just shall live. Sometimes just, that's how you're going to live. It's by faith, but it has to be chosen. It has to be chosen. It's not what happens naturally, folks. Tim, did you talk about the seed yet? Well, I'm going to do it later in the week because I want to wait till you're gone. Now, you... I'm ready to learn something, too. The Holy Spirit teaches me when I'm up here. Did you teach on the seed, seriously? Did you talk about the seed? You didn't... Man, faith. It gives us an opportunity. You know, if you have a garden and you till that ground, what comes up first? Weeds. Grass. My dad says if you want to grow good grass, asphalt a parking lot. It grows the best grass in the world. You know, it's just the truth. What happens naturally may not be what you want. And if what's happening naturally is not what you want, you force a seed into the ground. You force it. Oh, we're going to teach on that tomorrow. The force of the seed. You sow it in faith. You take the word. You sow it in your heart. You accept it as yours. You say, that promise is mine. He wanted me to have it. That's why he said it to me. And that forces that seed down into your heart, and then you grow it. But it has to be chosen. I hear people say, if God wants me healed, he'll heal me. Oh, if God wants me healed, he'll heal me. Charles Capps, simple quote, one of the most powerful things he ever taught. Faith stops at the question mark. That's why we're erasing question marks tonight, because he's here to heal you. His presence, his power, his anointing, his Holy Spirit, not a human, but his word alone. Didn't we learn that from the centurion? Speak the word only and my servant will be healed. That's all it takes. That's all it takes, mixed with faith. Remove the question mark. Faith stops at the question mark. We have got to get this settled. Is it or is it not the will of God for you to walk in health? And don't be settling for little piddly stuff in your body and just saying that's not a big deal. If it was on the cross, if it was on his side, on his back, in his body, it's a big deal. He paid for it. That's a big deal. Don't be settling for allergies because they're just allergies and you can go pop a Claritin. If you need to pop a Claritin, pop a Claritin. But speak the word over that and declare, I am free. You're free. So don't be settling for things. Don't say, if God wants to heal me, he'll heal me. He did. He did. He doesn't have to do anything else. If you're dealing with something you think is small, nosebleeds, ingrown toenails, I don't care what it is. Don't think that you're asking Jesus to do anything that he has not already done. It's done. It's done. It's like me putting money in Rusty's bank account. I'm really just kidding here. We share a bank account. But it's like me putting money in your bank account and you going, oh, I don't want to bother her with that. Rusty would be drawing the money out. He blew the motor up on his boat. We are believing God for some motor money. A man needs to be on the lake. He would be drawing it out. Why? Because he has a need. He has a need and it's been provided. What kind of, we call that humility? To refuse to take what God has put in our account? Is that humility? No, that's stupidity. That's ignorance. When it's in there, the price has been paid for it, you draw that baby out. It's yours, and it's been paid for. And that is not in my notes. It's going to take me all night to get through this if I don't hurry up. He provided it, and you choose it by faith, by choosing to believe it. And no one is excluded from it. Jesus healed the covenant. Jesus healed the non-covenant. Go back and study it. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What are you going to see? Jesus didn't care. Healing is for humanity. In fact, one of the greatest ways he ministered to the non-believer was by healing them, healing their children, healing their servants. Why are we excluding ourselves? We're covenant. He certainly healed covenant. Ought not this daughter of Abraham? Yeah. Oh, that's what it says. Oh, I like him. I'm going to take him home. Go back and look at the Old Testament types. Anytime there's a New Testament truth, you can go back and find an Old Testament type and make sure you're thinking right. Is it the will of God to heal? I don't know. Let's look. Let's look at that blood on that doorpost. On what? All three parts? Spirit, soul, and body? Did he not cover it all with the blood? Spirit, soul, and body? And the death angel has to pass over because the blood's been applied. But the blood had to be applied. It wasn't enough that the lamb had been slain. The blood had to be applied. That's what we're talking to you about tonight. It's time to apply the blood. It's time to apply the blood. And then there was that serpent on a pole. Children of Israel going through, you know, fiery serpents. I don't like snakes. My church knows I don't like snakes. They torment me with snake videos. Like my phone dings every time I mention a snake in service, and they torment me with snake videos. Snake on a pole? A snake? A brazen serpent on a pole? Because when the snakes would bite them, they were dying. And Moses says, what do I do, God? God says, you put a serpent on the pole. A serpent. What could that be? But Jesus, with our sin nature, hanging on that cross. So that whatever the earth has bitten us with, if it says, whosoever looketh. Looketh. That's a continual Not look, not glance, not come to church on Sunday and think about it. Whosoever looketh shall live. Even if you've been bitten, even if there's already poison in your body. The anointing just hit. Blood issues. It's working. You're looking. Don't you dare look away. And keep your eyes on the cross. And those blood issues. Email me. Tell me about it. Serpent on the pole. Blood on the doorpost. They're going through the wilderness. They're drinking the water. The water's bitter. It's poison. Moses goes to God, what am I going to do? We don't have any water to drink. These people are getting sick off this water. What am I going to do? You know what God said? It's the most beautiful words. And God showed him a tree. The cross. Threw the tree in the water. It took the bitterness out of the water. Your health has always been his plan. Always. From the beginning, it's always been his plan. It's simply the character of God. It's not about you. It's his character. He is healer. He is healer. It's in his name. It's in his DNA. He can't help it. He just heals. We can't help it as believers. We just lay hands on the sick and they recover. We can't help it. It's in our DNA. It's in our character because we have the character of our Father. And if you tell me you're sick, I'm going to say, can I pray for you? I'm not going to say, I'm going to remember you in my prayers. We're going to lay hands on the sick. They're going to recover because it's in our DNA. It's the character of God. So don't let the enemy make you the one that it's not for. Because it is in the character of God. It really has nothing to do with you other than his love for you. Doesn't matter how you got lung cancer. It doesn't matter if it's because you smoked 30, 40, 50, 60 years. It doesn't matter if you've got damage to your brain because of drugs. It doesn't matter if you have sexually transmitted diseases because of who you slept with. That doesn't matter to God. It's in his character to heal you because he is love. So take the excuses and the exemptions that you put on yourself and put them away. Jesus annulled those exemptions. He took away those excuses and he qualified you. And we can look at Jesus because he is the expression of God's will. If you'll remember in John 14:9, Philip came to Jesus and he said, King James Version. If you show us the Father, it will suffice us. I can't even say that. There's so many S's in there. If you'll show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What'd you see Jesus do? Because if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, right? Hebrews 1:3 says, he is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature. He's the perfect imprint. Now, I'm married to Rusty, who has an identical twin named Randy. And if you're ever in Russellville and you go up to a guy and you say, hey, and you hug him and he acts like he doesn't know you, that's Randy. This is Rusty. Virginia has done it many times, hugged the wrong twin. She's done it. You know why? They're perfect imprinted, perfectly imprinted. Although my husband is skinnier now than his twin. And I always say I married the better twin. But he's the perfect imprint. Jesus is the perfect imprint of God. He has the very image of God's nature. If you want to know what God would do, you look and see what Jesus did. I don't know about you, but I've looked all through here. I can't find anywhere where Jesus walked up to somebody and said, I'm fixing to teach you something, sweetheart. Now you just take this cancer for about 6 months, and then after you're born again, I'll take it away. You can't find it. You can't find it because it's not in his DNA. It's not in his character. He didn't get any of those traits from the Father because the Father does not have them. And in Acts 10:38, it says Jesus was anointed by God. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Where do we get this mess from? And you know why he did it? Read the rest of it. For God was with him. And if God is with you, you got to be a healer. You've got to use the anointing of God that's on the inside of you to bring healing into people's lives, because it's in your DNA. It came from your Father. Folks, it's time to learn the difference between God and the devil. You need to be a church that knows the difference between God and the devil, because there's churches all over this town, I guarantee you, who are confused on what God does and what the devil does. And why does that make a difference? Because if you think it's God, you won't fight it. You won't stand for the promise if you think God is sending the bad. Now, your head can go back to the Old Testament, and you can find all kinds of squirrely things. Let me just put it real simple. John 10:10. Jesus said it. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's the dividing line. First message I ever preached to Rusty when we were dating, our first date, was that. First scripture ever learned, and boy, did he learn it. It's important. It's the dividing line of the Bible. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundant. Sickness is a thief. It'll steal your joy. It'll steal your peace. It'll steal your time with your family. It'll steal your finances. It'll steal the call of God and your ability to do what he's called you to do. It's a thief. It cannot be from God. It's a thief. It's a thief. There's no blessing in it. Well, so-and-so got born again when they got cancer. They could have got born again when they didn't have cancer. Stop it. Stop accusing the Father, the one who is defined as love, as being mixed up. I wouldn't put cancer on my child. I might whoop them. I'm not going to break their tailbone spanking them. I'm not going to cause damage to them. Yes, he disciplines us. And Ephesians makes it very plain. He cleanses us by his word. That's what he's doing tonight. Get that off of you. Get that off of you. I'm love. I'm here to provide. Oh, he's good. We sing those songs and then we say he does these things we would put people in jail for. Seriously. We would call it abuse. We would call it murder. But when it comes to God, we want to put some kind of religious cliche on it, like God had a plan. Jeremiah 29:11, God had a plan. It's for a future and for a hope, and it's good. God had a plan. He sent Jesus. Sickness is not from God. It wasn't in the garden. It's not in heaven. It won't be on the new heaven and the new earth. It won't be in the new Jerusalem. You can forget it. It won't be there. It's not from God. You'll never see Jesus put sickness on anybody. You'll only see him heal, because he only did the will of the Father. And he took the stripes on his back. That's your proof. That's your healing. And we need to look at his body instead of looking at our body for our proof. That's my proof. The cross is my proof. I don't have to check and feel my knees for the proof. I don't have to check my back to feel the proof. I check his back for the proof. And when we learn to do that, we'll be walking in faith instead of being led by our senses. As we walk by faith and not by... Ooh, y'all been preaching faith. Finish my sentences. I'm liking it. When you get the will of God established in you, you will begin to stand in the arena of faith with confidence. But you got to get the question mark removed on if it's his will or not. And know that healing was was provided for you. 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes we were healed. We were healed. Past tense. When? Jesus. Jesus. Since when have you been healed? Jesus. I just now received it. But it was put in my account. Jesus. And when we get that down, it's yours. It's yours. You're healed. You are healed. You're not the sick trying to get healed. You are the healed the enemy is trying to steal the health from. This is huge. It's so huge. You're not the sick. You are the healed. Why does that make a difference? Because when you enter the arena of faith, which is tonight's title, by the way, the arena of faith, when you enter into the arena of faith, you will enter it differently if you're going in having already possessed it. Then, I use this example at Tim's. I can't think of a better one. I've got a car. I've got an SUV sitting out there. That's my car. It's in my name. I have the title deed. Tim teach Hebrews 11 to you. Did he get out a title deed? Perfect. That's perfect. Isn't that good? That's my car. I have proof it's my car. Now, if Chico goes out there and steals my car, he's going to see a mad woman. I will whoop Chico. I will fight for my car. I got to have my car. I got to have my wheels. I got to go see my grandbabies. I got things to do. I need my car. It's my car. If he steals my car, I will fight him for it because it's mine. Now, if Rusty said, I got you a new car today, honey. Oh, that's great, baby. Thank you. And y'all all go driving off in your cars and I don't know that it's mine. I'm just going to wave at you when you leave. You might be in my car, but I don't know it. That's your healed body. You better know it. That way when somebody comes to take your health, something comes to try to take your health from you, you better have your title deed in that promise from the Word that health and healing is yours, because when you get that settled, you will fight. That's the fight of faith. Not trying to get healed, but keeping what you already possess. It is rightfully yours. It is the gift of God. Then you fight. That changes how you fight and you stand your ground. And I'm tired of seeing pushover Christians that just take whatever the enemy throws at them. You know, the scripture says, resist the devil. Don't wave at him when he drives off in your health. Resist him. Territory of health was already bought for you. It's yours. You own it, and you own it now. You possess it now. Faith is always now. This is another point I want to make sure you get. If it's not now, it's not faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now it's the evidence of things not seen. By it the elders obtained a good report. If it's in the future, if you say, I believe God is going to heal me, sounds innocent, right? Do you know what you just said? He hasn't. I believe Rusty's going to get me a new car. Do I have a new car? No. I'm believing he's going to. That's hope. Faith is now. Michelle, I can't wait to take you for a ride in my car. What car? You know, the car Rusty got me. Where is it? Well, it's not here yet, but he got it for me. How do you know? Well, look, he got the title deed. It just hasn't been delivered yet. It's not in manifestation yet, but I own it, and I can't wait to take you for a ride in it. You have health. It may not be manifested yet, but you've got the title deed sitting in your lap. That tells me it's fixing to drive up real soon because it's yours. It's yours. Faith is always now. If it's not now, it's not faith. Hope is future tense. Hope is future tense, but not faith. And at some point, hope is great. It's the starter, right? So don't down hope. If you're just now in hope and you're thinking, oh my gosh, is what she's saying, could that possibly be true? Could I possibly get rid of this thing in my body? That's hope. That's great. It's the beginning. You just don't stop there. Then you move into faith. So at some point you go from, oh my goodness, I could be healed, to I am. And we're going to talk about that in another session, setting that time to receive. There has to be a time that you move from hope to faith, and you need to know when that time is, otherwise you're going to get hurt. Hope sees the promise, but faith seizes the promise. Hope sees the promise. Oh, it's out there. Hope sees the promise, but faith seizes the promise. I'm telling you, faith is a fighter. Faith is a go-getter, and it changes how you enter the arena to fight, because you're not fighting to win it. You're just keeping it. You're protecting your territory that's been given to you, and when you already possess it but someone's trying to steal it, you'll fight because you have the right to fight. Do you know you have the right to fight for your health? You have the right to resist the devil on this issue. That's what we've been talking about, the will of God. So don't enter the arena if you're not there to stand as a victor. Enter the arena as a victor. Kenneth Hagin used to say, if you'll enter the arena of faith willing to stand forever, you won't have to stand long. Something like that. Virginia can probably help me. If you enter prepared to stand forever, you won't have to stand there. You don't look for a place to quit. Don't look for a place to quit. I tried to use the example at Hot Springs of a bull rider. We have any bull riders in the house? Oh my goodness, we've got a redneck up these churches. I mean, we got a cowboy pastor. You'd think we'd have a bull rider. Not your pastor. He could sing country songs, but we don't want to put him on a bull, you know what I'm saying? Isn't he great? Man, he broke loose in song at Tim's church, and I was like, oh, he could just stand in the living room and sing. Whew. Man, y'all are blessed. I hope y'all know how blessed you are, have such a good pastor. If you're on a bull or you're on a balance beam, maybe gymnastics might hit more home. I love gymnastics. I think it's great. Both my kids took gymnastics. But if you're on a balance beam, you don't look for a place to land. If you're on a bull, you don't look for a place to land. They will teach you that. You don't look for a place to land. Because if you look for a place to land, you will hit it. So if you look for a place to quit, it will find you. And I hear people say, well, I'm going to believe for my health, and I'm going to go to the doctor Tuesday if I'm not better. I always say the devil's going to keep that appointment. You are going to feel horrible Tuesday. Because you look for a place to land, he's going to make sure you have one. You look for a place to quit, he's going to make sure he's there for that appointment. Now, by all means, this is my disclaimer I always give. If you need to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. Our desire is health. The end result is health, and that's what I say. If I go to the doctor, the end result of this thing is health. The doctors are going to have wisdom. They're not going to give me anything that will harm my body. They're going to do me good and no harm. Great. If you need to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. But don't set a time to quit. We set a time to receive, not a time to quit. How much time do I have? How long have I been? Okay, the rest of you can leave. This section is... You can't enter into faith out of fear. You cannot enter into faith out of fear. And I know that sounds crazy, but you not believe how many people come up into the healing line or call me at the office and say, pray for me, I don't want to have surgery. Pray for me, I'm afraid my children are going to. Pray for me. You know what that's? They're trying to get me to use my faith. Faith is not born out of fear. Faith is born out of the promises of God. And you can't choose to believe because you're scared you're going to die. You can't choose to believe because you're scared your business is going to fail. You can't choose to believe because you're afraid you're about to go through a divorce. You can't fear your way into faith. They're opposite forces. They never, ever work together. When one is present, the other will be gone. So if I'm standing in fear, faith is non-existent. But if I'm standing in faith, fear has to go. I love it. I love it. Y'all should be so full of faith after Tim got through with y'all. Man, Hebrews 11:1, how beautiful is that? Fear doesn't fight smart. Fear doesn't fight smart. Have you ever been scared and fought out of fear? That's a stupid fight. You look like a girl up there just, you know, punching at everything and swinging at everything. And fear doesn't fight smart. We can't fight out of fear, because if you fight out of fear, fear controls the fight. You don't want fear controlling the fight. You know, when fear controls the fight, everything is reaction. Faith is different. Faith is an action. It's not a reaction. You know, faith was meant to be put out front. That's why it's the shield of faith. And we're always trying to throw faith out there after something's already hit us. When are we going to learn to put faith out in front, and then it will quench every fiery dart of the wicked? Instead of waiting until we're hit, we're trying to use faith to get the dart out. Now, trust me, God wants the dart out. Faith will work after it hits. But we're here to learn, right? So we're putting our faith confessions. We're saying the word. We're getting it out there front. My dad used to always say, the best time to receive your healing is while you're well. Whew, that's a little Tom Underhill right there. That's good. Now's the time to receive. Whether you've already had something hit or whether you hadn't, you build that faith up for healing and the miraculous power that's on the Word of God that will keep things. You don't even know what all's tried to attack your body, but because you've had your shield of faith up, it's quenched those fiery darts before a diagnosis was ever given. So we don't stand here on the basis of our need. We stand here on the basis of the Word by right, because it's been provided for us. We don't stand here trying to get something. We stand here more than conquerors. I like that word, more. You're not just a conqueror. You're not just a survivor. You're more than a conqueror, because you're standing there in the armor that's provided for you in Ephesians 6. When you read Ephesians 6 and you read the armor, what you see is a victorious warrior. Not a beaten down, barely made it through this scrap with the devil. And when it says that when you've done all to stand, what a statement. Standing is a victory stance. It's a victory position. And that's the position he has you pictured in. That's you in Ephesians 6. And when you've done all to stand, you stand. You stand. You protect your territory. You protect what's been given to you. Knocks fear plumb out. 1 Timothy 6:12 says to fight the good fight of faith. Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, fight the good fight of faith. And my dad used to always say, you know what that means? It's a good fight when you win. And I love that. And then I heard Jeremy Pearson. Did y'all ever listen to Jeremy and Sarah? Give me a big hands up if you do, because I want to. Okay, y'all need to start listening. Jeremy and Sarah Pearson's faith. Whew, faith. Glorious. They just moved to Colorado, started a church there. Kenneth Copeland's grandson, if that makes it any easier. Sarah was raised up in our church. he said this, when he talked about the good fight of faith in one of the articles that he had written. I think he taught it at the church too, I think, babe. But 1 Timothy 6:12, he read it out of the WEST translation, W-U-E-S-T. And it said, be constantly engaging in the contest of the faith, which contest is marked by its beauty of technique. I thought, it's not just about it being a good fight. It's not just about, it's about how we fight. It's not just about winning. It's about how we fight. Because how we fight determines the outcome. I love that. Be constantly engaging in the contest of the faith, which contest is marked by its beauty of techniques. We're not just out here fighting like a bunch of kids. We are skilled fighters. Clothed in not just any armor, the armor of God. That's what we stand in. Look, some of you need to get an attitude. I think I've taught this up here before. God intends for us to be fighters. When he said resist the devil, he didn't mean y'all have prayer for me. He meant for you to stand toe to toe and say no. No, get out. This can't be in my household. This can't be in my grandchildren. This can't exist in my body. When he said resist, those fighting words. If you're not a fighter, become one. Become one. Fight for what is yours. An awesome price was paid for it. Everyone is fighting. Everybody's fighting something. But how many are winning? You know, Scripture tells us to follow those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. Get tough. Get tough, you hear me? Don't you let the enemy have an inch. We've let him have way too much territory. And then we find ourselves overwhelmed. You have a cause. Do you remember when David was going up to fight Goliath and the brothers were giving him a hard time? You know, religious-minded people are going to give you a hard time if you decide to fight what's come against your body. They're not going to understand. Don't expect them to. You find brothers and sisters of like and precious faith and you surround yourself with them, those that'll gear up with you and stand in the fight and encourage you. David said, is there not a cause? You remember those words? Is there not a cause? You have a why to your fight. You have a reason. And when you have a reason to fight, it changes how you fight. Your how, your why is because it's yours. We talked about that. Your why is because it's yours. You possess it. You own it. It was a gift to you. It's provided to you. It's what the Father wanted you to have. And your how is faith. And he even gave you that. He set it right there in our sweet little laps and made it totally available to us to build faith in ourselves. And when that faith comes to a certain place, and I understand it's a process. Building that faith, that's what y'all been doing. Tim's been pumping y'all full. Sunday, pumping y'all full. You may not be ready yet. It's important to know where you are in the fight of faith. If not, you'll get hurt. You need to know if you're in hope, you're in faith. You need to know where you are in the process of faith. You need to know if you need to go to the doctor. If you don't need to go to the doctor, there's wisdom in the Word. You need to know if you need to come up to have hands laid on you tonight or if you need to wait and hear the word tomorrow and come up tomorrow night. You need to know that. But God gave you the ability through faith to receive every single promise. I love, whew, Ashley taught it, Hot Springs. I hope he taught it to y'all. How many promises there are in the word. They're all available to us. Protect what God has given you, fight for it. You have every right to do it. It's yours. It's in your account. And because Jesus took stripes on his back, you were healed.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.